This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
Good morning, church. Enjoying this lovely weather, right? Before the storm. It's like the calm before the storm. I'm so grateful that this is not Monday. It sounds like Monday's going to get weird. So I'm glad you're here today. I'm Tim Doyle, lead pastor at Restoration. We're pioneering work here in downtown St. Joe. If you're new, welcome to our glorious mess. We're glad to have you in it. I'll be back over there after service. Love to meet you, give you a gift. Welcome you to Restoration. Glad you're here. If you would like to turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 2, that's where we're headed this morning, Ephesians chapter 2. This is week 4 of our basics series. We're covering the essentials of our Christian faith. Felt like that was a good way to kick off the new year. Really been enjoying this series. I hope you have too. Really love these little video clips we've been able to incorporate and visualize what we're talking about. We started out week 1 with fear God. The second week is follow Jesus. Third week, what was last week's? Remember? Did you cheat? Oh, it's not up there. Good. Very good. You remembered on your own. Holy Spirit. And if you missed any of those messages, they're available online, as Matt said, restorationstj.com. You know why we put STJ at the end of Restoration? Because one day there'll be Restoration Maryville and Restoration Wathena. Ho, ho. You know, Restoration Cameron, you know? Not because we don't want you all here, but there's people that need to know about Jesus in those cities, right? So I believe this is the start of something really big God is doing, and we're so glad that you're here. Today, as we kick off week 4, it's fellowship. It's been so dog-eared and used over the years. My grandmother, you know, bless her heart, she was a saintly woman. She's the reason I'm a believer today. And she, but her church context, they always called each other brother or sister. Like never would they be sister ward, right? I mean, it'd be like that's how they referred to one another, which is cute. I always thought it was a little creepy, you know, when I was a kid. But it's like, I get the context. We're a family. But here's the problem with that. If you carry that analogy all the way through, it's like, but if you're not one of us, you're not really my brother or sister. And it's like it was an exclusionary term in some ways, you know? And I think that's what Jesus is teaching the church to be. It's like, yeah, he died so that we could all experience this family. And it's not that we're this club that you come and join. No, our job, our mission is not to just have a relationship with a personal Savior. Yes, you are. That's how the journey begins. But you move on in connection and fellowship with other believers as a family. That's how other people are brought into this relationship. So it's not exclusive. It's inclusive of those who would follow Jesus, those who would fear God, those who would say, yes, Holy Spirit, fill me, direct me, guide me. And this concept of fellowship, I really feel, I mean, I'm not trying to brag. I just say, I think something unique is happening here at Restoration, and I'm grateful for it. I think something very, you know, very special. I'm just, you know, I'm biased, you know, this is my church, so I love it. But I think I've got some evidence, you know, that there's something unique happening here. I'll tell you a quick story. You know, when we came down to this part of the city to plant a church, first of all, it wasn't on anybody's radar, you know, in the city that we would have a church in this area. And several years ago, about 20 years ago, they designated this 9-block area, as they call it, the Precise Plan District. So their goal was they wanted to draw establishments like restaurants, bars, you know, shops, those kinds of things to this area to bring life to this part of the city because it had been kind of abandoned for a while. And so when I came along with my you know, idea to plant a church, immediately red flags in City Hall went up and said, whoa, 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 that wasn't what we intended to be in the precise plan. So I'm the fur on my neck kind of stood up just a little bit, you know, and I said, well, I don't understand, you know. I mean, we want to bring some life to that part of the city. Well, church wasn't what we had in mind. And as I probed a little further, I realized, because what their impression of a church was, and pardon me if you're, you know, in the older generation, but they just said, we just see like little white-haired old ladies sitting around knitting on a Sunday morning, and then the rest of the week, cobwebs in the corners of the door, right? No activity at all. And I just kind of smiled, and I said, but you don't understand what kind of church we are, because that's not who we are. We love little ladies, but we have a lot going on, not just Sunday mornings. That's not our concept of church. But what allowed us to be able to put the church here was our coffee shop. When they saw the coffee shop on our plan, they're like, oh, so you have a retail component. I said, yeah. Okay, you can do it. I thought, isn't that interesting? And that's why I'm so devoted to the coffee shop concept, not because it allowed us to come here, but because it really is our opportunity outside of Sunday morning to connect. You know, it's the handshake with the community downtown. It's a chance to build a relationship, to really be involved in people's lives, and to build, you know, some concept of trust so that they might want to come and check out church and they just might meet Jesus as a result of that. Isn't that interesting that the fellowship component was really what opened the door for us to be here? I think that's a distinctive hallmark of our church. People tell me that when they come here and they visit, they're like, I just felt really people were friendly and they kind of liked me and they wanted to get to know me. And that's, I hope that's always a hallmark of our church. That is the DNA of the church that Jesus died to build. I'm part of something bigger than myself. My faith is tied to the other believers, other Jesus followers around me. And it's not even an option to live a faith life isolated. I mean, we give ourselves the option because we live in America, right? And we want to do what we want to do. But the definition of the church implies the fact that you don't do it alone. We're interconnected with one another. But this individualism is really woven and ingrained into the culture of our country. And it seeps its way into the local church so easily. And it's honestly kind of hard for me because I'm a lover of people. Have you noticed that? It's like I'm an encourager. And I don't like to be hard on people, but today's going to be kind of a hard message. In the first service, I made them get out their hankies. If you got hankies, you want to get them out right now because you won't be crying. You're going to wave them at me because you're going to say that, preacher. Come on, go, go. I'm going to make you appreciate what I'm about to tell you because Jesus wants to kick some booty today. That's what I'm thinking is going on. And does Jesus want us to be happy? Well, yeah. But if you stop there, if that's my pitch to people coming to Jesus is to be happy, well, they could sing the Pharrell song and be happy, right? I mean, they could do that. It's like that's way too low of a threshold. Jesus didn't just die to make us happy. There's so much more into the relationship. I would say, does Jesus want you happy? Well, shorten that sentence. Jesus wants you. And when Jesus has you and you have him, all the stuff that comes with that relationship is yours, including happiness. But you know what? Not every day of my life am I on cloud nine happy. How about you? So what do you do when that's not the case? Has Jesus left you? Have you left Jesus? Well, I hope not. The thing is, our concept of our walk with Jesus is so much bigger than our emotions or how we feel or things going the way we wanted them to. The main goal of my life, following Jesus, creates the byproducts of joy, peace, all the things that come with following him. But sometimes life is just hard, which is why without Jesus in the context of my life, I'm going to be discouraged. I'm going to not have the strength to go on. Jesus makes it make sense. Having that connection with other believers when I'm not feeling well, when I am down, when I am discouraged, you guys are the ones that breathe strength into me. It happens daily. I got my brothers that just, they text me, they'll call me, they'll check on me, how you doing? And I need that. It doesn't make me weak, it makes me a part of the body. That's my strength, it's your strength as well. Naturally though, on my own, I don't know if you know this about me, this is something that people seem surprised by when I tell them. It doesn't surprise me because I know me. But naturally, I'm an introvert by temperament. I just am. You know, I can get up and do this because I'm a communicator, but how I recharge is alone. I like to hike. I like to go down to Bluff Woods down on 59 and just hike the trail and just recharge. Now, I don't do it in the summertime because snakes do not recharge me. Snakes deplete me. So I don't go in the summertime. In the summertime, I go to Colorado and recharge when I hike in the mountains. But simple self-reliance is just selfishness. If I think I can live my life for me, I don't need anybody else. And that church is something that I do. I come, I sit in a gathering. I love what Francis Chan said. Church is not something we all sit in rows and face forward. And it's like, oh, Jesus, deliver us from that definition of church. Fellowship, this concept of what we are to be together is what I think the goal is. We were not built to live life alone. The problem with doing it with others, though, is just so hard. It's just so messy and things don't get done the way I want. Wouldn't it be great if you were in charge of everything and could do everything yourself? It would all be done according to your specification. And boy, wouldn't we all be happy with that? No, thank you. Where's the excitement? Where's the journey? I said this morning, I tweeted this. I said I was just kind of on fire with this message this morning as I was preparing. It's like most of us want to make everybody else into our image
Instead, God says, no, I'm here to make you into my image. And as Christians, aren't we guilty of that? We have a picture of what the perfect Christian life should look like, and we measure everybody else by that standard, and God doesn't do that. God loves the journey. He likes the mess. He likes the figuring it out, but we can't do it alone. We do it together, and that means that we're going to fuss once in a while, and there's going to be tears, and I'm going to need to lean on you, and you're going to need to lean on me, and sometimes we won't even like each other very much. That's where true Christianity is tested and proven, in the fire of adversity. That's marriage, right? I mean, it's exactly the same picture. As a church, we're committed to live together. Biblical Christianity means we are in a family, walking and living together, learning how that happens. So Ephesians chapter 2 is where we're going today, and that's where I want to point you to. And it's interesting how this particular chapter is divided into kind of two sort of categories. Everybody loves the first half. No one would disagree with the first 10 verses we're going to talk about. It's the other 11 that get a little tricky. So let's read together the first 10. All right, Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. You were dead. You believe that? You were dead before Christ? I hope you believe that, because then you can't appreciate coming alive if you don't know that you were dead. Your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, aren't you glad for the buts in the scripture? But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Thank God for his kindness, right? Aren't you glad today? See, you're supposed to be waving your hankies at me right now. Jesus was kind to us by forgiving us in our deadness of our sin. Where was I? For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Yeah, that's worth getting excited about. That's a great picture, a concise illustration of the Christian life. You're created for good works. You don't save by them. Because you were dead in your transgressions, the only thing that could get you out of that place and on your feet and on the path of life was the sacrifice of Jesus. His blood, his atoning death, made a way for us to come alive in Christ. Someone say amen, please. Please, come on now. That's preaching. That's good news right there. It's for all of us. And Ephesians goes on to tell us the implication of that in our lives. Ephesians 2:11, therefore, because of all that good stuff, because of that, remember, that's a great word right there, remember. See, otherwise we get to forgetting about how awesome the salvation is and how where we once were. Remember, formerly you who are Gentiles, and raise your hand if you're a Gentile. So the rest of you are Jews. Okay, great. By birth and called uncircumcised, by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. And you don't need me to explain that to you, do you, right? Remember that at that time, you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel. See, God's people, foreigners to the covenants and of the promise, without hope, without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups, who are the two groups? Jews and Gentiles, one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law. That's so key right there. Jesus set aside the law through his sacrifice with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity. Some versions say one new man. Out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body, reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens. Say fellow citizens. Fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. There's another great picture. Built on a foundation. God is using all these metaphors. He's got a building. He's got a household. The foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, this whole building. I can just see, man, Paul's getting excited here. This whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple. Wow, now we're really getting into it. In the Lord and in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Wow, my mind is blown by these pictures that Paul's painting. That together we were separate, Jew, Gentile, separate from God. And because of the gift of his Son, peace was made. The dividing wall was torn down. We've been made one, not just so that we could be sons and daughters, but together we become a building and a temple for God to live in. God wants to live in this temple, not just individually, but corporately. How much more when the corporate body of Christ together is pursuing this walk together, fearing God, following Jesus, receiving the Holy Spirit, being filled with him so that we can, in fellowship, make the difference on this earth we're meant to. It's good preaching today. Come on now. Come on. Chris has got her hanky. Well, it's a piece of paper, but that'll work. Oh, gosh. I love it. We learn that we can't live in isolation and be the believer, believe the Christian that we feel that we're called to be. It's not possible. Jesus wanted us united together so badly. Listen, he sacrificed his own life on a cross to make it happen. I've preached this, you know, John 17, a long time in my ministry. Chris and I, we had this organization called Joseph Resource Group, and our mission was to bring believers together, cross church and denominational lines. We did it for 8 years, raised support, traveled around. It's what I did. And one of the things that I, my pet positions is this. Jesus said, Father, make them one. John 17. Why? So that the world will believe. See, it's not just about our oneness. There's a purpose in the oneness. I wonder how much of the world believing is waiting on us to be one. What it looks like. And Francis Chan alluded to that. He said, you can say forgiveness is a part of the Christian life, and it is. You can be thankful that you've been forgiven, but if you're not going to forgive people around you, you haven't really got that then. You don't have the body portion figured out. That's when it's demonstrated to the world that there is something to this thing. And it makes us different from the world. So there's something for the world to be attracted to. Because if we look like the world, what's the point of coming in here and being a part of us? If we're acting and living the same way as everybody else, there should be a difference in the believer. And it's when it says there in verse 22, we're being built together. Being built together. That's what Jesus is doing. If we, as Francis said, if we'll willingly participate, the problem is we give ourselves the choice to stay isolated. Can you be a believer and stay isolated?
No.
Well, I think you can, Carolyn, but I think you miss out on the full life that Jesus planned. You'll get to heaven, you get your heaven ticket punched, but gosh, there's so much more now to do on the earth that we miss out on if we don't take him up on it. Chan's definition of the church, I love this. He says, the church is a house made up of individual people who are miraculously joined together by the death of Christ to be the place where God dwells on the earth. It's miraculous. It's supernatural. None of us naturally would choose this. It's a supernatural choosing. Naturally, as an introvert, I would choose to do things alone. I'd just be like, I'm not going to bother people. I'll just get it done and go on. And you know what? I've found out as a leader, that's a horrible way to lead. First of all, it burns me out, you know? It's just not the way the body, you know, fit together. Paul uses the analogy of a body, and we're different parts and we're joined together. When the body is working in cooperation with one another, life flows, and we're much more effective. Friday, I was vacuuming. See, Chris is waving her hanky. I was vacuuming. And I reached over to pick something up. I got to be careful how I do this. Off the floor, and my knee twisted in a way that knees aren't supposed to twist, you know? I didn't hear a popping sound, but it wanted to really bad. I backed off, and the rest of the day I was kind of gimping around. I was trying to milk it, like, look, honey, I'm vacuuming. But I learned to appreciate my knee.
You know, we need knees, don't we? But if we all were knees, that would be kind of weird. We need all the different body parts to function as they're supposed to. And they can't function separately because then that's kind of freaky and creepy. Then you get gangrene. You know, you separate a body part from the body and it doesn't work so well. We're meant and only can function effectively together as his body. And when that happens, that's the place God says he dwells, in that temple, in that building. It's not about a box. It's about a body, Jesus' body. We will not experience true fellowship unless we learn to love the people around us and understand the level that we need to enjoy them and incorporate their life into us and us into them. That's the picture of the body that is beautiful. Turn to someone and say, I need you in my life. I need you now. Okay, now Zach said it to Emily. That's not fair. See, lovey-dovey eyes don't work. You need to say it to somebody you don't know, okay? Look at somebody you don't know. Find somebody you don't know and say, I need you in my life. See, that's that's where it gets a little weird, right? Now we're stretching you just a little bit. Because it's easy to say that to somebody that you know and are ooey-gooey with, but what about somebody you don't really know? Or what about somebody who's offended you? Hello. Somebody you don't really like that much. Come on now, I'm preaching now. I'm meddling. See, that's where the body life is really demonstrated, where Jesus' body really becomes visible and remarkable, like attractive. Like, that's different. I've never seen that before. That's God's will for us. He created us in a unique way and gave us supernatural gifts to enable you to fulfill the God-given mission on your life. That is the point, right? There are gifts and callings and talents in you that, if not connected to the body, don't get expressed, at least to the fullness that God intended. And the body suffers because I twisted my knee when I vacuumed, right? Part of me is missing. Part of me is broken. Part of me is not functioning correctly. Then the whole body suffers. That's Paul's analogy. He says in 1 Corinthians 12, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for what? The common good. The common good. I believe this picture of Jesus and his church, you know, for us, is so critical. And if Jesus died to make something like this possible, shouldn't we kind of be eagerly willing to participate? To say, come on, Lord, I want to experience that, and I want other people around me to experience it as well. I love that picture in that video of all those, just it looked like thousands, thanks to special effects, right? Thousands of white boxes, people trapped in those. And they might be religious boxes, I don't know. But there are people who need to come alive in Christ and be part of a family, to know this supernatural thing called fellowship. It begins by fearing God, following Christ, receiving his Holy Spirit, and experiencing fellowship, the supernatural working together of the body of Christ. I believe that's what God wants to do in this house. You know, we're a little concerned in a good way because if you've noticed, we're getting a little tight around here. It's getting a little close, and that's a good thing. You know, it's like the story of the prophet in the Old Testament who instructed the widow to go and collect all the vessels she could find, and God would fill them with oil. She was running out of food. He said, go collect all the vessels you can find, and God supernaturally filled those vessels until the time when she ran out of vessels, then the oil stopped. And I don't ever want to run out of vessels. That's why I'm believing for St. Joe, you know, to be the first of many restoration houses of gathering together, people being healed, restored, released into their calling, their life in Jesus. Christianity is not about what I can get. It's about who I can serve. That's the picture of fellowship that I want to leave you with today. And there's a couple of ways we're going to seal the deal this morning. First way is we're going to take communion together. Now, communion, you know, we believe that communion is a symbol. It represents the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for us. And at Restoration, we practice open communion. We're not going to do communion just yet, though, guys. Hold on just a second. It's a picture of Jesus' death on the cross, burial, resurrection. We receive life through that. And just so you know, at Restoration, we practice open communion, meaning whether you're a part of this church, you're visiting, it doesn't matter. You can take communion as long as you've said yes to Jesus. And that's what that means. You're receiving his sacrifice. If you do it for the first time today,
I'll be a happy pastor. Because that means you said yes to the gift of God, and that's what we want. But if you aren't ready yet, if you're not there, I'd rather you be intellectually honest with me and say, not quite there yet. And I would say, I appreciate that, respect that. Rather than just to take it because it's a snack, right? I mean, or because people around you are doing it. That's not producing the life change that we're talking about here. Not about being religious and performing an exercise. It's about surrendering your life to Jesus. But there's another way. And this is kind of awkward for me. I've never seen this before, never done it before. One thing about leading a church in a new pioneering way is there's not a path to follow. So I'm kind of striking out here in the great unknown. But I'm going to say something to you, and I want you to keep your hankies close, because I'm going to need you to wave them really hard at me, because I'm going to say something that could be kind of hard to hear. Fellowship is not just coming to church on Sunday mornings and sitting in a chair and listening to the great music, maybe singing, and going home afterward and doing it again in a week. See, that's not it. That's routine. It might be good for you, and I hope it is. I'm glad you're doing that. That's sort of, you know, perfunctory Christianity, but there's more that Jesus died for you to experience. See, when receiving communion, that's good, but Jesus said it's more blessed to what? To give than to receive, right? It's not just talking about money. Please don't get hung up on money. I'm not talking about giving of your money exclusively. I'm talking about yourself, engaging in the body. And here's what I know. We need to get this coffee shop open. We need to get in that room over there. Why? Because we need more containers for Jesus to fill. When our containers get full, and they are, the oil will stop. He can't send more people because we can't handle it. We're not physically ready. Right now, we need a second children's service because that room upstairs is packed. We need to open up more opportunities. We do. That'd be a way that we could provide more containers for Jesus to fill, but we don't have the structure to support it right now. So what I'm going to do, ushers are going to, before they give you communion, they're going to give you one of these. Would you hand these out, boys, if you do that for me, please? These are opportunities, and here's the thing. I could have just stuck this in your worship guide today and made reference to it. Hey, there's this thing. If you check a box, sign up, and let us know, we'd love to have your help. Bing. That is the most worthless way to engage people in anything, because I might get 5 of them back, and it'd be the same thing people who did it last time. So I'm getting a little more in your face about it today and say this. If you're planning on taking communion with me here in a moment, that's awesome. This is communion part B, okay? Because it's not just receiving what Jesus did for you. It's about participating in what Jesus died so that you could experience life in you, life expressed out through you. So I put it in my notes this way. I said communion is receiving God's gift of love, and fellowship is giving away. It's sharing God's gift of love. You know, fellowship, really, if you wanted a word to equate with fellowship, you could use the word serving. Fellowship and serving. Look at Matt smiling over there. See, that is Matt Long right there. Look at him. 2 thumbs up, grinning ear to ear. And that's what I love about that man, you know? Matt is as masculine as you want to find a guy. And if you don't believe it, punch him in the nose, and he'll show you how masculine he is. But look at him sitting there hanging out with the kids. I love it. See, that's the picture to me. I kind of titled this campaign we're launching today called What Love Looks Like. That's what love looks like. And I affirm you, brother. Thank you for being a man, you know, stepping up. And so I gave you about 5 different options on the back. This is by no means an exhaustive list. I'm just telling you, I'm pushing you because I love you and I'm your pastor. And I want you to experience full life in Jesus. And there's a place for every person sitting here right now to serve. Now, if you've not yet gone through our restoration ownership track, if you've not gone through the pioneering class, then that's step one. So I want you to put a box beside, or put a check mark beside that sentence, I'm a restoration owner or have taken Pioneering 101. Check that if that's the case. It won't stop you from serving if you haven't. We just want to make sure we get that on board for you, because that's really where you're going to capture the DNA, the heart of who we are as a church. But I'm telling you, every person listening to me right now, your destiny is to not just be a receiver, but to be a participant in this work that God is doing. This is also communion. Am I making that point correctly? Communion is not just receiving what the church can give you, it's giving what you're supposed to supply to the church. Otherwise, the body is lacking. We're missing something. And trust me, if it's not something that you feel like, I don't have a lot of gifts, there are things outside of even Sunday that we can plug you into. But Sunday morning is the mothership. This is where we reach the most people and where we have the most potential to impact lives around this community. And I'm so grateful. And we have a great team. I'm just telling you, we got to keep pressing in to what God wants to do, because I know, I guarantee you. Let me tell you a quick story. Last Tuesday, I had a guy come through our building, and he's a vendor representing a major lighting company that is doing our lighting for our coffee shop and our auditorium space. And he's never been in our building, but he already, through his reps, has submitted a bid and a design for what our lighting will look like. It's awesome. It's going to be one of the best houses in the city as far as, you know, technically equipped. It's going to be awesome. But he'd never seen the space. So he's based in Miami, flew to Kansas City for other reasons, and our rep said, hey, come to St. Joe, look at this house, look at this place. So I walked in Tuesday to meet him. He was here a half hour early before me. And when I got here, he was already taking pictures and was like a little kid in a candy store. He was right there, about where Carolyn's sitting, and just snapping pictures and saying, this is awesome. This is so cool. I've never seen a church like this. And I said, well, that's kind of the point. You know, we kind of like the uniqueness of it. He went into that room, saw the auditorium picture and stuff. He said, okay, scrap all the plans. We can't put our fixtures in this building. They would ruin it. It would look too techy. It'd look too like everything else in America. He said, I've been in thousands of churches across this country, providing their lighting systems, some of the biggest churches you could name, and I will not put my fixtures in your building. I was like, okay. He says, we need to custom design lighting fixtures for your building. Because if I put my stuff in here, it's going to take away from this amazing atmosphere that you have. He said, I won't do it. I'm going back to my factory guys and saying, we've got to design something. And I'm thinking, ka-ching, 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 dollar signs. You know, that's what I'm hearing. And he goes, no, listen. We'll still work within the same budget we talked about. I'll take the cost of designing these unique fixtures for you, because no other place in America looks like this, and I can't put a generic looking fixture. Now, that might not mean anything to you. It means a lot to me. It means that a man from Miami, Florida, who I don't know if he's a believer or not, but you know what he said before he left? I want to go to church here. Isn't that crazy? He's never heard our music. He's never heard a message. The atmosphere. There's something unique God is doing here. And I believe he's inviting us to really be a part of his body, his fellowship, supernatural family, so that this city and beyond have a place to come and become a brother and sister, you know, become a part of the family. And I'll just be honest with you, we can't do it without you. I think right now we've hit our capacity. I really feel that. We've already talked to the leadership team. We've got to do something. You know, I don't know if we'll go to a third service or open up another children's service or what we'll do. We've got to do something. I mean, you all second service people can attest to that, right? There was like no more place to put people. And if we don't make a decision soon, we're stuck. And I never want to be stuck. I want to keep going. That's what life is about. You press through. Is it a challenge? Yeah. You know what? We meet challenges and we press through. We go to where Jesus, sometimes he makes it uncomfortable, so you'll press on through. I'm so ready to be in that room. I can't hardly stand it. I wanted it to be by Easter. Easter's in about 2 months. Probably not going to happen. But by golly, we're going to figure out a way to bring life to this city in the situation that we're in and believe God for supernatural results. How about, are you with me? Come on now, I need to see some hankies. Come on now. Thank you very much. So, ushers, come on up with the communion trays. So, I've given you my pitch. This is communion part two. So, after you receive the normal communion, then you're going to meet me at the back. I'll be back at the back of the giving kiosk to meet my guests. I'll be there, but I want you to hand these to me personally. I've got to show you. This is awesome. First service. Those guys are crazy. They're wild people. I got a whole fist full of people who said, and I looked through them, and not everybody in this stack are currently serving in a position. So if one of those spots on the back there interests you, we'll explore that together. We will find a place for you to connect to this body. But I'm telling you, every person here today, listen to me. Every person has a place. And I don't believe the life of God that he wants to pour through you, through your gifts and talents, can find full expression until we figure what that place is.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com, or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.